Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you turn your Bible with me, please. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. This is the 5th in this series of lessons, the second half of the conclusion of the whole matter. And walking through this book of Ecclesiastes, the sermon that Solomon gives us, as God's given it to us in His Word here. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at some things and move on through this meeting. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us, and we thank You for this day, and for health and strength to make it to this point in this day, and for Your blessings that we've enjoyed. I pray that You be with us now in the next few moments together as we look at this Sunday school lesson, prepare for this Sunday, and all the things that are ahead for our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the title, a catchy title, and I guess if you've been around here a while, you hear lots of things that stick in your mind, and call to other things to your mind. This is one of my very favorite portions of Scripture as the pastor has given it to us. Ecclesiastes 9, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before men. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart, while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Verse 4, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." And then you see the phrase at the end of verse 4, where the title of this lesson comes from, "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You may want to write right there in the margin of your Bible, "As long as there's life, there's hope." As long as there's life, there's hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, the comparison that Solomon's making for us, that God's giving us here in His Word, you may be thinking about your prized pet at home when you're thinking about your dog. But what God's Word's giving to us here is talking about an untamed, wild, undesirable creature compared to the very king of the beast, the king of the jungle, a lion. And God's Word says that a living dog, no matter how undesirable, you think of the mangiest creature or the wild creature foaming at the mouth, whatever you want to think about, a wild, angry, uncivilized dog, God's Word says that a living dog is better than a dead lion, no matter how stately or how regal that lion may have seemed to be. A living dog is better than a dead lion. If you back up in chapter 8, and as you're taking the time to prepare for Sunday, if you have the opportunity to teach this lesson on Sunday, you see in the beginning of chapter 9, "For all this I considered," for all this. And so we're reflecting back on chapter 8. And back in chapter 8, Solomon's talking about unsolved mysteries of life, some things that we don't know the answers to, back in 11 and 12. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily." Solomon says that's a mystery, you know. Everything's not taken care of immediately. Verse 14, "There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous." He said there's bad things that happen to good people. And there's seemingly good, or there's good things that happen to seemingly bad people. He said that's a mystery. He said, "I don't understand that." And he continues on through there. In verse 17, "Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor and to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it." He says there's some things that wise men don't know, as we've been through these lessons the last couple of weeks. And he says, in light of all this, in chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, "For all this," for all these things that we've just talked about, Solomon says, "I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." In the hand of God. We're going to talk about that But that's how we head into this. A living dog is better than a dead lion. And then we're going to look at this lesson and encourage people to see the importance of serving God with the life that they have right now. As long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. And you have a variety of people that you'll be teaching this lesson to on Sunday in our classes. And some of them be very discouraged. Some of them are facing things they don't know the answers to. And they need to understand, they need to know the promise from God's Word that as long as there's life, there's hope. Some of them are battling illnesses that, you know, are going to take their life if the Lord doesn't intervene. But as long as there's life, there's hope. And there's still something that God has for their life. Some of them will be teaching to young people who think they have their whole life before them. Now, the fact is, none of us know. But they face things that are discouraging. And sometimes they may be tempted to think about, oh, I wish I didn't have to face this. And you'll read in the reading material as the pastor relates some stories about young people that just got so discouraged, they thought there was no answer. But that's not the case. As long as there's life, there's hope. And that's what God's Word brings us to this week. Let's look at these three things quickly. Number one, we see the eternal God. Boy, what a blessing. The eternal God. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 1. Again, and the wise and their works, the second half of verse 1, are in the hand of God. They're in the hand of God. Think of that. All of life is in God's hand. I mean the very God that created the entire universe. Been a big news happening, you know, the vehicles landing on Mars and taking these pictures, these fascinating pictures, and I'm thinking, my God created every bit of that. He's already seen it all. He saw it. He spoke it into existence. And that's whose hand my life is in. And I think of all the things I have to encounter, but my life is in God's hand. All of life is in God's hand. The eternal God, been forever and always will be forever, not bounded by time. The eternal God. Psalm 2, it's a passage of Scripture that we refer to often. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Verse 4 says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And God, looking down and at men that think they have control of things. If you have young children, I'm reminded of so many things. You know, as they're growing up, they want to help you. They want to help you carry something. And quite frankly, you know that you're carrying it in spite of them and stumbling over them and getting in their way. And I think that's about how it is with us and God. You know, we think we're really bearing the load. And I remember being just a little bitty shaver. And, you know, we had one of those lawnmowers that had the bar across the top and then one down there in the middle, too. I know it isn't safe if there's any OSHA people in here, but you know, Dad would let us slide underneath that big bar and push that little bar down there, and we thought we were taking care of all of it. We weren't doing anything, you know. He was getting it done in spite of us. He was in control of the whole situation the whole time. And the Bible says that's how it is with God, as He controls this earth and controls the world and all that happens in it. And our life and all that's involved in it is in God's hand. That's the hand of the eternal God. And it's interesting, and you'll study this as you're looking through the lesson. You know, we trust God for salvation and our entire soul's destiny we put in God's hand. We say, I trust you for that. For by grace you save through faith. I put my faith in the hand of God. And then we live our lives like it's all up to us and we've got to get it all done. No, the Christian life, as it's pointed out here, is the whole life of a Christian is by faith, should be by faith. And God built it like that. You notice no matter how many times God comes through and how many times God provides and how many times God proves Himself, then the next time something comes up, it's all over again, you know. You have to trust Him all over again. And you're encouraged by what happened before, but God makes it where we lean on Him again. That's the eternal God that we can put our faith in. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You say, how could I please a God, the eternal God? You can please Him by having faith in Him, by faithing Him in your life, day to day. That's the eternal God. Then next we see the event that comes to all people. There is one event. You want to mark that in verse 2 of your Bible? There is one event. And again, you see the phrase in verse 3. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event. Now, we've been through these this book of Ecclesiastes enough to know I think you can guess what that event Solomon is talking about. Because Solomon gets to it often, refers to it often as he's thinking about it. There is one event that comes to all people. Death is coming to all of us. Our church, I don't suppose a week goes by, but what we don't find in our prayer sheet on Wednesday night, that join Pastor and Mrs. Sexton in praying for this family, that family. There's two families in there this week in our church family that have been touched by death, because death comes to us all. And when you have this number of people gathered, then it's just a reoccurring thing. That's the event that happens to us all. And it helps us to think about what's valuable. That's what it should do for us. Be discouraging? No. As Christians, we know that there's greater things beyond. It makes heaven a sweeter place. But as far as life on earth and our opportunity on earth, that ends it. And it should help us to think about what's valuable. I had the opportunity last spring to travel with Pastor and Mrs. Sexton. We were in Bedford, England, and I saw a street sign. I'd never seen one like, never seen it before. And Suzanne could probably tell us what it means. But the sign says, "Changed priorities ahead." Now, I suspect that it's going to change, direction of traffic is going to change, or a lane closure or something. I didn't ask. But I took a picture of it. Changed priorities ahead. And I thought, you know, that's what I need for my life. As a matter of fact, that's what's happening in my life. I think it's just one event coming after another. But God is saying, moving on ahead, as you're moving ahead, we're going to change your priorities. And as things come up in our life, our priorities should change. And as we encounter different things, God works in our life and our priorities change. What was once so very important to us, probably not so important to us anymore. Our priorities change, and that's what God's working and dealing with us. And this one event that comes to all people, that's what it should help us think about. And if we can look to the end, we may think that end is a long way out there, then that'll help us to prioritize things in our life. And we think, in light of eternity, in light of the time that I have left here to serve the Lord, how important is this matter that I'm dealing with? The event that comes to all people. Remember, as long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. And then finally, you see the end of all earthly opportunity. And God takes us here and he turns and speaks strictly about earth, not about eternity. We know that our soul lives forever. And the soul that's trusted in Christ and accepted Christ as their personal Savior will live eternally with God and enjoy the place that we call heaven, that real place that we're looking forward to. And those that have not trusted Christ, rejected Christ as their Savior, then they're going to spend eternity separated from God. And the Bible calls that hell, a real place, a literal place. But we know that's eternity. God takes us right to this moment to earth. And he says the end of all earthly opportunity. Would you look with me, please, in verse 4 through 6. "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." The end of all earthly opportunity. That's why a living dog is better than a dead lion, because once you die, earthly opportunity is past. It's over. It's gone. But remember, as long as there's life, there's hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, where are you going to take your class to this week as you're encouraging them in this lesson? What would God have you to do before your opportunity is gone? Let's take advantage. You want to challenge our people. Let's take advantage of what God's given us. Boy, life's a precious thing, isn't it? Let's take advantage of what God's given us and understand, no matter what we're facing, no matter what arises, then we have God that's in control, the eternal God. It's going to end sometime, because there's an event that comes to us all, and when that happens, our opportunity on this earth will be gone. A living dog is better than a dead lion. May the Lord help us as we prepare and present this lesson and encourage people this Sunday. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for your word and for the encouragement that it is to us. Help us as we work this Sunday and a special time in the life of our church leading into this revival. And Lord, I pray that many people will be in our Sunday school classes, be encouraged by this lesson and understand that as long as there's life, there's hope. And the opportunities that we have in this time and in this life are not forever, but they're certainly a grand opportunity right now. Bless us now. Bless the service this evening. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.